As our country continues to reckon with race, non-Black communities of color have sought to show solidarity with Black America. That includes the Asian American and Pacific Islander community. Not surprisingly, these can be complicated conversations about race. Here in Massachusetts, a recent statement released by the Commonwealth's Asian American Commission noted that, quote, Asian Americans continue to benefit from the model minority myth and our historic proximity to white privilege, end quote, and that the death of George Floyd, quote, pushes us to confront how AAPI people can be complicit in anti-Black racism and oppression, end quote. Those words have sparked a debate over racism and privilege among local Asian American and Pacific Islanders, and questions about how the community can move forward productively to address systemic racism. We have two guests joining us today to talk about all of this. The first is Vera Duongmani Cage, chairperson for Massachusetts' Asian American Commission. Welcome, Vera.
Hi, good afternoon.
Vera, do we have you?
Hi, yes. Vera.
And also with us is Linda Champion. Glad to have you. Linda Champion, attorney and assistant general counsel to the state's Department of Industrial Accidents. Linda, welcome to you too.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
So Vera, I do want to start with the commission and the statement. What was the commission's goal with the statement?
We thought it would be important to issue a bold and strong statement of solidarity with Black Lives Matter, to acknowledge our position in white supremacy or whiteness in this country. This country, we talk a lot about Black and white, and we wanted to speak up at this point.
Some members of the commission and of the Asian American community, Vera, have expressed concern about statements regarding anti-Blackness, proximity to white privilege. What do you say to those concerns?
Oh, the concerns are there. They're what people are feeling. So I certainly don't want to ignore that or say that those sentiments do not exist.
And Vera, as the conversation continues, Linda, I'm going to turn to you in just a moment. Vera, as the conversation continues, what is your goal to have be front and center in the discussion?
Right now, the Black community is reeling, mourning. It's a state of I think, shock. And for us, we're just trying to figure out how we can mobilize together, how we can support one another, how we can address racial tensions that have existed, you know, within our communities. Also to reflect on the examples of solidarity and working together and coalition building. How do we strengthen that? How do we do more of it? How do we be more effective in ending racism and recognizing that the institutions that we exist in, the system, how we're socialized from our educational system, looking at how our criminal justice system is meted out and practiced in this country, how all of those things, how that impacts, the Asian American community, how that impacts Black communities. We all need to talk about Black lives, and we need to talk about why Black lives matters, right? Within our communities, and to address the anti-Blackness that is real as well in our communities.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. It's just I'm anxious to also bring Linda's voice into the conversation here. So I'm going to take a pause there because I want to turn to Linda and just ask a couple of questions about the pieces we've already covered. Linda, as someone who identifies as both Asian and Black, you had some concerns with the statement that came out from the commission. Can you talk with us a little bit about that?
So my position on the statement that came out from the commission is I felt that it just wasn't reflective of me as a person, and certainly didn't reflect the values of my family. My mother's a Korean American. She came to this country while the Vietnam War was sort of winding down. My parents met when my father served in Vietnam. And I think that for someone to make a broad stroke and suggest that Asians are anti-Black, it that struck a chord with me, and it didn't strike a chord with me in a positive way. I think that for my mother, there should be no doubt that she fell in love with a Black man. She had three beautiful Black children, and she raised those children in the South, in Texas, and in a segregated community for the most part. And the suggestion that all Asians, or the suggestion that, you know, a statement with so much complexity as interracial tensions that exist, not only in Asian American communities, but also within the Black community, those interracial tensions cannot be reduced to a byline, and it certainly can't be reduced to a paragraph in a press release. Those issues are complex and complicated.
Linda, when I asked Vera just now, you know, what do you want to keep front and center in the conversation? She gave a very clear and robust list of issues that she wants to stay focused on. What's your response to that? Are those the issues you want front and center in this conversation?
So the thing I want front and center in the conversation is that right now, Black lives matter. And the reason Black lives matter is because Black lives are those lives that are in danger. And as a community, both the Asian community and as communities of color, all communities of color, we need to, yes, have honest conversations about racism. But now is the time for us to come together with an issue that is at the forefront of all of our lives, because we watched and witnessed a man lose his life in front of our own eyes. Black lives matter. It doesn't mean other lives doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that racism doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be dealing with and grappling with the issues of racism. But it also means for me that I don't want to see racial tensions that exist. We saw those racial tensions play out in Los Angeles in the aftermath of the Rodney King trial. We saw a trucker driving his load through a city street and being dragged out of his car and beaten. Did he personally do anything to anyone? No, but he was a white man driving a truck. And I do not want to see that type of backlash come to my mother, to my family, who doesn't share in that anti-Blackness rhetoric or sentiment.
So, Linda, I'd like to give Vera a chance to just kind of respond to some of the things that she just heard. Vera, let me invite you to respond.
Yeah. You know, the press statement was developed by a few members of the commission, and it was the second iteration, what you see. And I think it's a really important document to really study and to look at. We bring up Yuri Kochiyama. We bring up Grace Lee Boggs. We bring up examples in history where there's been solidarity. And, you know, contemporarily, we could have, you know, talked about many different Asian American leaders who are doing really good work effectively within and with Black communities. So I want to point that out as well. And I do know that, and I want to acknowledge Linda's experience. I think she has an exceptional position to be in both worlds and to experience both worlds. And I had the opportunity to just, you know, try to get to know Linda a little bit more. And I do know that there was a meeting where, Linda, you spoke with Korean American business owners, and you talked about the Black Korean experience. And I think that that's important to raise, you know, how do we treat our own, right? How does colorism play into the dynamics of our families, the dynamics of acceptance, of being, you know, accepted or disowned, or how do we bring families together? Because I've been in that experience, and I think it's important to know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And that's what I'm excited to be at the helm of the Asian American Commission, to bring Linda's experience into the forefront, to bring in so many different perspectives, including people who reject that there is, you know, a benefit to white being in white proximity. Right. So let's bring everybody together and let's have these difficult conversations. Because, you know, the rest of the world, you know, is burning, and we're also hurting and impacted when our family members are getting murdered by the hands of the police.
Linda.
Yes.
So I both want to invite you to respond to anything you might have heard from Vera there. And then I want to ask both of you, there is a complicated history there. When we talk about race, there is always complicated history. And this is a moment where our focus on race in the country is specifically on anti-Blackness. How do you both envision a dialogue going forward in the Asian American Pacific Islander community that emphasizes solidarity and support of our Black community while we're talking about anti-Blackness, and also wrestles with any internal pain that may need to come forward in these discussions? I know that's a complicated question.
So for me, it's not complicated. I think that we as individuals each need to look in the mirror and look at the racism which exists within ourselves and in our hearts. And like my mom explained to me back in the 60s, before she had ever seen a Black person in Korea, she said that the images of Blackness and the images of Black people were played out on television. And all of those images were always barbaric, and all of those images were always negative. And the first time she met my father, she felt afraid, but she didn't know what she was afraid of. But all she could remember were those images and the stereotypes that she had seen on TV of African tribes and how they captured animals and how they skinned animals and all these other images that were all negative against Black people. And so, but my mom, despite all of those images, took the time to get to know someone as a human being and then made a decision about a person as a human being. So until we get real with the racism that exists within us, we cannot move forward. And it's great that we're having this conversation about race, but I can tell you that just because one group experiences racism in one way and a different group experiences in a different way, it's still painful, it's still hurtful, and it cannot be ignored. So to get to the next step, we can't continue to talk about, well, who was discriminated more than the other, and what generation or what race experienced it worse than the other. The reality is, right now, in this moment, we have an opportunity to make a change in the lives of so many people by communities of color coming together and working together. And we have a unique opportunity to say that we don't condone it. The problem is not Blackness. The problem is not me, my color as a Black woman. The problem is the power and the policies that are used against me that hurt my ability to be successful, that hurt my ability to live, that have essentially taken a contract that the government gives us as people of color, and they've essentially broken it. They've said this applies to everyone, but it doesn't apply to you. And the people right now who feel the brunt of that, and we've seen it played out, are men of color. And as a community of color, where do we go from here? We all have to unite. It's not pointing the finger and saying this person suffered more. We've all suffered from racism.
So Linda, I want to build on that. We've got just a minute or so left, and I want to turn back to Vera and say, so Vera, as the head of the commission, how do you want to move forward in next steps and in dialogue and in bringing the commission back together?
I want to invite everyone who is interested in helping us chart a path forward to get in touch with the Asian American Commission, because we need to take advantage of this opportunity to bring people together, to solve problems, to heal, to talk, and to chart a course forward that brings our voices, our experiences together. I don't know, you know, I don't have a blueprint. I need other people to help us. So I encourage community members, community leaders to please reach out, as we will be reaching out right now and in the short future. And I also want to reach out to Linda to have her be included in the work that we want to do that is inclusive and that is doesn't trigger people to distance themselves or walk away. We want all people to engage and be able to make the change that we want to see in this world.
Well, I appreciate you both beginning to engage with us today and with our listeners on this conversation. That's Vera Duong-Mani Cage, chairperson for Massachusetts Asian American Commission. Vera, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
And Linda Champion, attorney and assistant general counsel to the state's Department of Industrial Accidents. Linda, thanks.
Thank you for having us.